for days. And obviously, after they'd given the bleep, the news had reached the commander, and in typical gung-ho Hollywood style, the commander says, let's go and get our boy back. But apparently, it was based on a true story. Now, here's this one guy, he's lost, and they go quickly to get him back. Very simple, isn't it? And there's our text. Here's somebody, the pilot there, he's in trouble, he knows he's in trouble, he calls for help, and they go and fetch him, they go and get him. Well, here, we got Luke 14, the banquet, same passage as last week. We heard last week how Jesus was offending the Jews by saying, well, if they won't come, he'll go to people like us. Most of us, I guess, are Gentiles, non-Jews, because he will fill his banquet. Every seat will be filled. Well, now then, my text is, go out quickly. The Lord Almighty sends his servants out. Now, are you a Christian? If you say yes, then one test, it's not the only test, but one test is, are you going out? Because Jesus sends his disciples out. He sends them out. He tells them to go and get them back, all the lost. He sends us out. That's his plan. We are to tell others by our words, but also by our changed lives. They see a difference in us, or if they don't see a difference, then obviously we're not Christians. See, years ago, I remember the school in Townhill, minibus had broken down or something, so they rang me and said, will you take the church minibus, will you take the year six football team to a school in Morriston? The teachers were going, I didn't have to do anything other than drive the bus. Okay, I said, right off. So I drive the bus to Morriston, they go to play football, I have no interest in watching. So I went to the local library, and there was a book, A Well-Known Politician's Religious Beliefs. And this is what it said. His religious beliefs were not about evangelizing lost sinners, but much more about making the world a better place. Well, lovely. But that's not Christianity, though. That's not the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. He sends his disciples, go out. In fact, go out quickly. Tell them to come in. So, have you any desire to go out? I'm not saying that it's not scary. It is scary. But have you any desire to go out and tell people? So we could put a big sign outside, couldn't we? All fish welcome to jump into the net. But fishermen don't do that, do they? They go fishing. And we are to go out and tell people. So do you have any desire? Because if you have no desire, you're not a Christian, not yet. Every Christian has a desire. Now, they may be terrified, traumatized, but they have a desire. And they have a desire because their Savior has a great desire to save sinners. I remember a number of years ago, there was a group of older ladies who used to sit at the back here on a Sunday evening, and they were all members. And occasionally another lady, we'll call her Paula for argument's sake, she would come quite often, actually, on a Sunday evening. And she'd sit next to them, and they'd all chat. And after a few years of this, one Sunday night, I preached on judgment. And I spoke to Paula afterwards. And I said, look, now, you've been coming for quite a while. What do you think about what I said? Lovely, she said. I said, yeah, but do you believe it? Oh, yes. I said, well, can I ask you, what exactly do you believe? She said, I believe what you said. I said, what did I say? Oh, I don't know. So I said, well, I just preached on judgment. How are you going to get on judgment day? Excellently, she said. I said, okay, why will you get on excellently? Because I've been pretty good. I said, I just spent 40 minutes telling you that you're not good enough. So I went on to the three ladies who sat by her. I said, do you know Paula? Yes, we've known her for years. I said, is she a Christian? Silence. Let me tell you, she's definitely not a Christian. When was the last time I went around to three of them? When was the last time you spoke to her about the gospel? Silence. When was the last time you mentioned anything about her soul? Silence. Have any of you ever said anything to her about life and death and heaven and hell? No. Now, that can't be if you're Christians. That is impossible. Oh, yeah, you might be scared stiff and you might rack your brains thinking, oh, I wish I'd have said something. But you will want to say something because they're perishing. They're lost. See, Jesus can't understand so-called Christians being silent. He can't understand it because he sends them out. He sends us out. That's his plan. Now, it may not seem a great plan to us when we think, well, you know, it can't be a great plan if he's using me. But that is his plan. You know, you walk past a canal and you see some poor dab has just slipped in. And he's screaming in terror because they can't swim. None of you would just shrug your shoulders and walk past. You might throw a rope. You might find a life belt. You might ring 999. You might just shout in panic, help! But you wouldn't just walk. None of you would walk past. And yet you meet people, and so do I, every day of the week, and they are lost. They are perishing. And yet apparently some of us who say we're Christians do nothing and say nothing. A few years ago, up in Aberystwyth, I was first on the scene. A lady in her car had hit the hedge. The car had gone upside down. All the windows had smashed. Now, I know nothing about anything. And I'm absolutely useless in a crisis. I'm a headless chicken. I'm useless. But I didn't just drive past and shout out, wind my window down and say to her, you're upside down, love? Tough. I didn't do that. I got my phone out and I rang for people who do know, hopefully, what to do. And yet, some of you say you're Christians and you drive by drowning sinners, or you drive by sinners who are upside down and totally in a mess every day. I heard, it's been Shakespeare or Shakespeare season or something on TV, I think it is, or on the radio. And they said, I heard one interview on the radio. They said that Shakespeare, he was a master at explaining the human condition. Well, what is the human condition? I want to know, what is the human condition? You know what it is. Do you know what it is? I don't know if the BBC knows what it is, but they talk about Shakespeare and the human condition. Do you know what the human condition is? We're drowning. That's the human condition. We're lost. I remember reading a celebrity who said he was a Christian, but he said, my Christian faith is a very private thing. No, it's not. Jesus says, no, it can't be. It cannot be. Not if it's genuine. Why am I preaching to you this morning? Well, number one, they pay me to do it. But what are the reasons? Well, one reason is that just about 30 years ago, two Christians deliberately came into my life and started to tell me about Jesus. I wasn't interested. I didn't want to be found. They knew I was lost. I wouldn't admit I was lost, and I definitely didn't want to be found. But the point is, they knew that Jesus said, go out. And they saw this arrogant fella who was lost, and they decided they would try and befriend him and tell him about Jesus. And I have a list of people I pray for. Every Thursday morning, I thank God for them. I have their names down there. I thank God for their willingness, their obedience in telling me, even though it must have been hard work. Who wants to tell somebody about Jesus when they just turn and give you a mouthful of lip? But they did it. And they prayed for me. There was a Christian parent, when I was teaching up in my stakes, he prayed for me for years without seeing any change. But she kept on praying. She'd never spoken to me. She'd heard about me, which is why she started praying. But she never spoke to me, but she prayed. Are there people you pray for? Are there certain people you pray for regularly that they'd be found, they'd be saved? Because that lady, after all those years, her prayers were answered. When was the last time you prayed for somebody specifically? By name, Lord, save them. When was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody, anybody? You know, do you know what the gospel is? I remember in the late 1980s, there were two items that really struck me. Thinking about what the world preaches, you know. One was EastEnders. Dirty Den had fathered, had made Michelle Fowler pregnant in EastEnders. And the big, it was shocking on TV that she decided she was going to have the child. And what was amazing was the news items then in the following weeks were saying how many teenage girls did exactly the same as her. They cancelled their abortion appointment. It was tremendous news. They cancelled it. They said, no, I'm going to have the child, which was tremendous. So I just thought, so here's the world preaching. as it happens, a good message there. The world is preaching and people are listening. The other one was a big item about down in the south of France, red wine reduces heart attacks. It actually increases cirrhosis of the liver, but it was reducing heart attacks. And after the item on Panorama, well, the sales in red wine were rocketing because the world was preaching and people were listening. But we've got a message, haven't we? Hollywood and Hello Magazine and the Daily Mail and the Daily Mirror and the Daily Telegraph, they're all preaching, but we've got a message to preach. What is the message? It's not come and join our cozy little club. It's the you're lost. There's only one Saviour. It's Jesus Christ. Your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed, nothing to give to God. But now we're alive in his hands. Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist. Do you remember a few years ago there were terrible floods in the northwest of England, and a lady was on her way home. She lived in Workington. She was on her way home. She'd driving home from work, and she got to the river. All the bridges were down. She could see her house just the other side of the river. She could see the house. No way of getting there. No way. I think it was a 40-mile round trip. It was only 100 yards. She could see the house, but she couldn't get there. The cross of Christ is our only point of contact with God. We cannot do it. We cannot get there. You know, when I asked you, are you praying for somebody? Are you praying for somebody who shows no interest? Then even if you have to pray for them all the way to the gates of hell, pray for them. Pray for them. God is good. He is able to save. Even if they're resistant, if they're not interested, pray, even if you have to pray all the way up to the gates of hell. Has the Lord ever used you in a long chain of people to tell somebody that they need to be saved? Often the Lord uses umpteen people, all links, little links in the chain. Are you willing to be used? Are you willing to go and tell somebody? Many, many years ago in the 40s, there was a Buddhist monastery up in the hills of China. And one night, Gladys Aylward, Christian missionary, was coming over the mountain. She was absolutely exhausted. It was pitch dark. She knew it was dangerous. And she headed for the lights of the Buddhist monastery. And she asked them if she could pay for a bed for the night. They took her in. And they gave her a cup of soup. And she started to tell them about Jesus. And suddenly she was stunned because they stopped and they said, hang on. And they got everybody out of bed, including the leader of the monastery. And they all assembled. And they said to her, will you tell us again what you started to say? And, she was astounded. She said, wow, what's going on here? And the leader explained. He said, many years ago, one of our brothers, one of the Buddhist monks, was down in the marketplace. Somebody gave him a Christian leaflet. He brought it back. He thought it was interesting. We all read it. And so over the years, we've gathered a few of these, 20 or 30 of these Christian tracts that somebody was giving out. But on one of them, it said that at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world. So the leader had said to them, if that's what Jesus said, then one day, one of his disciples is going to come here. We'll wait. And tonight, it's you. So here's a bunch of Buddhist monks believing the commission more than you. Let's be honest. Believing that if Jesus says, go, that his disciples will go, and some of you aren't going. Perhaps you haven't got a message. Perhaps you're not saved. You need to be saved yourself first. But here's an astonishing truth, isn't it? That there's these unbelieving people who read and say, well, here we are then. Sooner or later, Jesus is going to send somebody. I think Derek Morris was the longest surviving heart transplant patient living in Swansea. And everywhere he went, he championed the cause of Harefield Hospital. Why? He was aware what they'd done for him. Now, what has Jesus done for you? See, if church is about good music, the world is always better. If church is about friendship, the world can do it better. Or activity, the world can do it better. But grace, as we sang, your grace The world is nothing, no knowledge of grace at all. This is the message. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives you the opportunity to be saved. Now, have you believed the message? Have you? This is important, mind. Because maybe soon a doctor will give you the kind of news you think only other people ever heard. Yeah. And will you know at that very moment the Lord Jesus Christ assuring you, don't worry, it's okay. I've got you. You're mine. You're safe. Amen. Well, let's sing of our Redeemer.